Welcome to Soulful Insights, the podcast where we explore deep spiritual truths and practical wisdom to help you live authentically, powerfully, and in alignment with your highest self. I'm your host, Tandy, and I am honored that you're here with me today. In this episode, we're diving into a topic that's not just important, it's transformational. Demanding respect, teaching men how to treat you with dignity. There's a fundamental truth that many people do not understand, and that is respect from others begins with respecting yourself. The way you honor your worth, set your boundaries, and show up in the world sends a powerful message about how you expect to be treated. I want to recognize right off the bat that all people deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. However, many of us do not understand how to show up and command that respect. Today, we'll explore how to embrace your sovereignty, live with dignity, and command respect. Not through external validation, but by standing fully in your power as a sacred and divine being. If you've ever felt undervalued, dismissed, or objectified, this conversation will empower you to rewrite that narrative and reclaim your worth. So let's get started and discover how to honor yourself and demand the respect you deserve. The foundation, like I said, respecting yourself. The foundation of demanding respect from others lies in the way you respect yourself. The truth is, the way you treat yourself sets the standard for how others will treat you. When you honor your worth, uphold your boundaries, and live in alignment with your values, you naturally command respect from the world around you. Self-respect is a powerful form of sovereignty. It's about recognizing your inherent worth as a divine being and refusing to compromise on what you know you deserve. It's an act of reclaiming your power, standing tall in your truth, and letting go of the need for external validation. And we do this in all places, at work, at school, in relationships, in all of these places, you stand in your power. And when someone disrespects you, you call them out on it. That is how we reteach people how to treat us. When women are overlooked or dismissed in any environment, it takes the courage of women to stand up and say, no, excuse me, I was speaking. Thank you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, stop the behavior, call it out. I want to start with how you show up in the world and how it affects the way other people view you and treat you. And I want to recognize that this is going to ruffle some feathers, but it needs to be said, and so I'm going to say it. So the first thing I'm going to do is point out the toxic narratives that religion gives to women in the form of toxic patriarchal modesty narratives, purity culture, that kind of stuff. But then we're going to really ruffle feathers when I start to talk about society's patriarchal narratives that women run to in response to toxic religious narratives. It's all patriarchal, but unfortunately, instead of women standing in their power and their sovereignty, generally women either accept the religious narratives or accept society's narratives instead of rejecting all patriarchy in all areas. All of this harms women in regard to how men view and treat them. And women, unfortunately, stand in both camps. So we are going to ruffle some feathers, but let's get into it. We're going to start with the religious narratives about how women should dress and the messaging that women are responsible for men's thoughts and behavior. This is the damage of toxic modesty narratives and purity culture narratives in religious cultures. And this is not just Christianity. Religious cultures often perpetuate toxic modesty narratives that place an unfair and damaging burden on both men and women. Mostly women. It is toxic to men, but it's mostly damaging and unfair to the women. These narratives are rooted in patriarchal beliefs that distort the purpose of modesty, turning it into a tool of control and blame. So let's break down how these teachings harm everyone. First of all, the burden is placed on women in religious narratives. Religious modesty teachings often focus on how women should dress, framing their clothing choices as the determining factor for men's thoughts and behavior. Women are told implicitly or explicitly that they are responsible for keeping men's thoughts, quote, pure. The messaging goes something like this. If you dress immodestly, you lead men to sin, you cause them to stumble, it's your fault that they can't control themselves. That's generally the narrative. Here's the biggest issue with religious ideas of modesty. Their standards involve telling women they can't show their shoulders, or wear a backless dress, or wear shorts that expose any part of their thighs. These standards are ridiculous, for one thing. And honestly, a man who sexualizes a woman who is a complete stranger to him, who is innocently walking down the street on a hot summer day wearing a tank top and some shorts, he is the problem, not her. Our society has trained men from the time they were young boys that women are objects to be visually pleasing to them. And they grow up catcalling, whistling, and treating women like objects to be consumed. This is the behavior that should be condemned, not the tank top or the shorts that the woman is wearing. This is the problem, and women are getting tired of it. This toxic narrative teaches women to view their bodies as dangerous, shameful, or sinful. It strips them of their sovereignty, turning their choices into a responsibility for someone else's morality. Worse, it fosters internalized guilt and shame, making women feel responsible for the thoughts and actions that are not their own. What's the result? A lifetime of second-guessing, self-censorship, and disconnection from their own bodies. To give you a shocking example of the messages touted by the religion I grew up in, I'm going to give you a quote from Mark E. Peterson. He was an apostle in the church I grew up in, and he wrote this in his book entitled The Way to Peace. And he says, quote, "Many of our women now feel obliged not only to display their badly shapen knees, but their thighs as well. No woman looks as lovely as when she is properly and fully clothed. What woman can suppose that ugly knees and bony shoulder blades can add luster to her charm?" End quote. The constant shaming of women for wearing perfectly appropriate clothing in hot weather is inexcusable. Blaming them for the toxic patriarchal culture that sexualizes them, and then turning around and saying their knees or shoulders are ugly or badly shapen. What is shameful is that society ever accepted such toxic and abusive treatment of women on both sides, whether calling them ugly for what they're wearing or making them responsible for men's perversion. It's all abusive. Men should never, and I mean never, sexualize any woman walking down the street, at a swimming pool, or laying out on the beach. She is a stranger, and her body is none of your business. Any sexual thoughts you are having are inappropriate. I'm sorry. A lot of people say, oh, man, you know, we just can't, whatever. No, do better. She is a stranger. The damage to men. These narratives don't just harm women. They deeply harm men as well. They make it difficult for men to have appropriate attraction to women. They make men believe that they can't control themselves. It frames women as temptresses and makes men completely powerless over their own thoughts, their own desires. This messaging absolves men of any responsibility for their own thoughts and actions. It tells men that any woman on the street is fair game to gawk at and sexualize, especially if her shoulders or thighs are exposed, and she is the one to blame. Because women's bodies are sexual to men all the time, and they are responsible. She must be covered from her neck to her toes, or she's responsible. This creates a toxic feedback loop. Men are conditioned to view women through a hyper-sexualized lens, believing that they can't control their thoughts. Women just must be sexualized all the time, seeing women as objects of temptation, rather than as whole, sacred individuals who deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. It fosters entitlement. Men in our culture, whether religious or not, believe they are entitled to women's bodies, to purchase them, to view them, to sexualize them in any way that they deem desirable. It excuses disrespectful or even abusive behavior. When boys are taught that their actions are caused, or thoughts, are caused by women's clothing, they are never held accountable for developing emotional maturity, healthy respect for women, and self-control. These things are necessary for us to have a safe society for women to exist in. Boys need to be taught about emotional maturity, healthy respect for all women, and self-control. The effects of these narratives ripple far beyond religious settings. For women, they grow up with an ingrained belief that their worth is tied to how they can, quote, protect men from themselves. This is not a woman's responsibility. Men need to control their own damn thoughts. Women carry the weight of others' actions and thoughts, often at the cost of their own emotional health and self-expression. This is not okay. For men, they grow up lacking accountability, lacking emotional intelligence, and lacking the ability to see women as equals deserving of dignity and respect. They are taught that women are objects to visually please them, and that their disrespectful sexual thoughts about a complete stranger are the woman's fault, or completely normal. Do you see how toxic this entire situation is? But we're not done. Let's get into secular patriarchy. Secular patriarchy is a reaction to religious narratives. Well, secular patriarchy just goes along with all of it, but women embracing sexual patriarchy is a reaction to the religious narratives. Women are not embodying this idea of respecting their own dignity. Nope. They jump from, I hate purity culture, I don't like this modesty crap, totally understandable. So they jump on the secular patriarchy bandwagon and they don't even know it. So this is where things get more complicated. In response to restrictive religious modesty teachings, many women turn to secular societal narratives, hoping to reclaim their power. But here's the catch. These societal narratives are just another form of patriarchy in disguise. Instead of being shamed for, quote, showing too much, women are now told that their value lies in their ability to look a certain way, to attract attention, to conform to modern beauty standards, or women just want to show it all in an effort to rebel. The pendulum swings from one extreme to the other, but the result is the same. Women are still reduced to how they are seen by men. You walking out there in a tank top and short shorts after being oppressed by religious culture, purity culture, isn't doing anything. I mean, it's not bad, right? But you're not doing anything to stop the sexualization of women. Women in their desire for autonomy, self-expression, and freedom turn to rebellion against the patriarchal religious modesty and purity culture, right? But what is secular society offering you? I'll give you a hint. It isn't any better. So I did some research on this a while back. This was back when I was in ministry school and starting to see the toxic nature of Christianity. And I was doing research on clothing. Clothing for men, clothing for women. And I was looking at clothing from infancy all the way up to adulthood. Adult-sized clothes, however you want to say that. I was absolutely shocked at what I found. I started out looking at infant and toddler clothing for both girls and boys. I could not believe I was seeing clothing for a six-month-old baby that was a strappy bra top and booty shorts. Now, I realize this is an infant or a toddler, but is this really like what we need to be dressing baby girls in? But then when I see what the toddler boys' clothing was, it was cute little shorts and polo shirts and cute little shorts with suspenders and a t-shirt and these cute little outfits. And this baby girl clothing, I'm like, this baby looks like she should be walking third in Maine. This is a problem. What I found was boys' clothing does not involve crop tops, booty shorts, spaghetti straps, their butt hanging out of the bottom of the shorts. It doesn't involve any of those things. I have yet to see a teenage boy wearing shorts with half his butt hanging out of them. But I see it on teenage girls all the time. Why? Why? Why is there this double standard that teenage girls' clothing, the straps on their tank tops are thinner, their shorts are way shorter than the boys' shorts? Why? Girls show their tummies, boys don't. Why? Boys' shorts are always longer, from infancy all the way to adult sizes. The boys' shorts are longer. Their tank top straps are thicker. Now, here's the thing. Let's think about you say, oh, well, the spaghetti straps are cute. Yeah, but they're not functional because we have bras, right? So wouldn't it make more sense that our tank top straps would be thicker to cover your bra strap, maybe? I mean, I'm not saying that's like immodest or anything, but it just looks tacky. But no. In general, boys' clothing is far less revealing than girls' clothing from infancy to adulthood. Why is this? I'll tell you why. Because women's bodies are viewed as objects to be on display, but men's bodies are not. Is this really an improvement on religious purity culture? To me, it should be equal. See, this is the thing. People say nobody wants to see a boy like that. Oh, really? So what you're telling me is the woman's body is to be visually pleasing, but it wouldn't be visually pleasing to see a teenage boy's butt hanging out of the bottom of his shorts. Therefore, we don't sell shorts like that to teenage boys, but we sell shorts like that to teenage girls because it looks good, but it wouldn't look good on a boy. Now you have exposed the problem. It's about being visually pleasing to other people. Because if you don't think a teenage boy should dress that way and have his butt hanging out of his shorts, why should a teenage girl dress that way? This is not an improvement on religious purity culture at all. Instead of being shamed for wearing the tank top, you're now encouraged to be an ornament for men's visual pleasure. Hence the reason your clothing is more revealing than men's clothing. So my husband and I were driving on the freeway, and this was just on Sunday. We're on our way home, and I'm watching the billboards as we're driving by, offering cool sculpting, weight loss injections, plastic surgery, the smart liposuction. Every single billboard had a woman wearing a bikini or in underwear or something like this, and her body looking, you know, culturally acceptable, the way that we think would be sexy, right? Telling women that they need to alter themselves, and that doing so will make them more confident. They will feel better about themselves. They will be beautiful. Do you know what I didn't see? Now, I want to be clear. We were driving for 2 hours. What did I not see? I did not see a single ad like this featuring a man in his underwear. Or a man at all. I never saw an ad for plastic surgery targeted to men. I did not see an ad targeting men for cool sculpting or weight loss injections or anything else. And I saw many of these billboards on my drive. Why? Because we don't expect men to be visual ornaments to be consumed. That's why. Men aren't getting pec implants. Men aren't getting butt implants. Men aren't going out and getting all the liposuction. Who's doing it? It's women, because their bodies are supposed to conform. So don't tell me that this is all about religious purity culture, because it's not. Our entire culture sees women as objects to be consumed. And you better conform to our standards for what your body should look like, or we will shame you. We will call you fat. We will say you're too old, you're too fat, your body is too big in some way or too something. I don't ever see billboards of men in their underwear, but why do we have women in their underwear? I wonder. It's ridiculous to me. But moving on, I did another experiment on Canva. I was working on a project and I decided to look up the phrase confident woman on Canva and see what photos came up. Do you know what the results were as I scrolled down all these photos that I was provided after searching confident woman on Canva? Do you know what I got? Women looking hypersexual in skimpy bikinis on the beach or in provocative poses wearing very little clothing. So, is this what's required for a woman to be confident, really? She has to not be wearing very much clothing? She needs to be in a skimpy bikini and look like a supermodel. But that's what Canva pulled up in response to confident woman. It's disgusting if you ask me. Why? Because there are so many other things to be confident about. Why does it have to involve your body? But I searched the same phrase, but confident man. Do you want to know what the results turned up? Men in business suits, men in business meetings, men being successful. You don't have a problem with that? That isn't religious purity culture. That's literally sending the message that a confident woman is one who can confidently share her visually pleasing body with us. But a confident man is successful. Most of these men were in business suits. That is the messaging that women are getting from our culture. So if you think religious purity culture is the problem, you are still caught in the matrix, my friend. Our culture teaches women to sexualize themselves, that their value is in how visually pleasing they are to men, and that women's bodies are to be put on display by selling women revealing clothing, whereas men don't even have that option. Where's the male booty shorts? I want to see them. Where are they? Where's the men's crop tops and spaghetti strap tank tops? People say, oh, well, men dress like that. Yeah, when they're playing basketball. Not in public. Well, men don't ever expose their butt in public. They don't go to the mall wearing shorts with their butt hanging out of them. Why? Because we don't teach them to do that. We don't teach them that their body is an ornament that we have the right to view. When was the last time you saw shorts for teenage boys that were so short their butt would hang out? Never. There comes a point where the clothing goes from being normal attire for a hot summer day to exploitive in nature. And somehow, we haven't figured that out yet. We think that the less that we wear as women, the more liberated we are. But why is it not the same for men then? Aren't men more liberated the less clothing that they wear? I mean, it should be equal, should it not? This reaction of sticking up the middle finger to religious purity culture and yet embracing toxic patriarchal dress standards that put women's bodies on display does not liberate women. It traps them in a new cage. It's no more empowering to dress solely to turn heads and be eye candy for men than it is to cover up out of fear of judgment. Both approaches reduce women's worth to their appearance and reinforce the idea that they exist for men's consumption, whether to tempt and pleasure them or to be responsible for their morality. Neither narrative is healthy or respectful. So let's reclaim the narrative. The key to breaking free from patriarchy is breaking free from both of these cycles, both of them, the religious and the societal expectations, to reclaim modesty, clothing choices, and personal expression as acts of self-respect and sovereignty. It isn't about his thoughts. You're not in charge of his thoughts and his crap. But it is about self-respect, and it is about individual sovereignty. No, nobody gets to tell you that your shoulders are bad or whatever else. Modesty is not about controlling others or conforming to societal norms. It should be about dressing in a way that reflects your inherent dignity. And that is something that women have not figured out. Nobody is teaching you to reflect your dignity in what you are wearing. We are taught to be beautiful and to be visually pleasing. And you know what? If you're wearing a lot of this clothing, you're not dressing in a way that reflects your dignity. I am sorry. There's nothing wrong with a tank top. There's nothing wrong with wearing shorts that show your thighs or a backless dress or whatever. But there does come a point where it turns into putting your body on display rather than simply dressing for hot weather. There is a difference, and you know it. You don't want to admit it, but you know it. So let me give you a litmus test to help you see if you have toxic patriarchal narratives about clothing. Number one, do you believe that wearing a bikini top and shorts that show the bottom of your buttocks is appropriate for young women to wear or not? Do you believe that thong bikinis are appropriate for women to wear? Okay. Some of you may have said no. A lot of you may have said yes. But let me change this question a little bit. Do you believe that a 75-year-old woman should wear a thong bikini? Or do you think that's gross? Or do you think that that's normal? Like you would completely think the exact same? Think about that. Like, be honest with yourself. Why is it gross for a 75-year-old woman, but not a 16-year-old? This is an underage girl, right? Showing a lot. We don't like it if the 75-year-old woman does it because, oh, she's wrinkly and she's old and she's not, quote, beautiful, right? She's not visually pleasing, so we don't think she should wear it. This is where we get, you might not have the standard that purity culture does, but you still have toxic patriarchal narratives. The reason the 16-year-old can wear the bikini and you think it's fine is because she looks good in it. The reason you don't want the 75-year-old woman to wear the thong bikini is because she doesn't, according to your narrative. Do you know how many times I've heard these anti-purity culture people make comments about a 55-year-old woman wearing a sports bra and yoga shorts to my Pilates classes? I used to be a Pilates teacher. I have seen this so many times, it makes me sick. Ew, who wants to see that? What? So it's okay for a woman with a visually pleasing body to wear that, but not for someone who you deem unattractive. Essentially, the reason these clothes are available is for visually attractive women to be visually attractive. But this clothing is off limits for women whose bodies are too big or too old. This is toxic patriarchy. There is no difference between purity culture standards and toxic patriarchal standards of your body still has to be attractive in order to wear this clothing. If you don't think an 8-year-old should be wearing thong bikinis or a 75-year-old should be wearing it, truth be told, no one should be wearing it. If the outfit is designed for the visual pleasure of others rather than the dignity and respect of the wearer, that's your litmus test right there. For men, it's time to reject the idea that women are responsible for your behavior or your thoughts. True respect begins with accountability, self-awareness, and recognizing that Women are sacred divine beings worthy of dignity and respect, not objects to be consumed. If we want to restore balance, we need to dismantle both the religious and secular patriarchal narratives that harm women and men alike. Women are not responsible for managing men's thoughts. Men are not powerless over their thoughts or their actions. True respect and dignity begin when we hold ourselves accountable for how we view and treat one another. Men, you have a responsibility to respect the women around you, regardless of what they're wearing. Women are not objects for you to purchase or consume for any reason. Intimacy is about love and connection, not just pleasuring yourself off of someone else, and that goes for both men and women. If you're still with me, you are really ready to demand respect, so let's move on. You probably lose a lot of people with that. They don't like it. Women like to, they get a rise off of getting attention, let's be real. So I want you to take a moment to reflect on your self-talk and your daily habits. Are they uplifting you or diminishing your sense of dignity? So how do you talk to yourself? What do you think about yourself? Do you speak to yourself with kindness? Or do you have an inner critic? Self-respect starts with recognizing that you're worthy of love, kindness, and compassion. And you know, you have to offer that love, kindness, and compassion to yourself first. When your inner dialogue aligns with your worth, your actions and boundaries will naturally flow from that. So we have to start with, first of all, your self-respect, how you talk to yourself, what you believe you're worthy of. And everything else can flow from that. But when you have self-respect, that actually naturally flows into what you wear and how you allow people to treat you, even though we talked about that first, right? Self-respect means protecting your time, your energy, and your emotional well-being. It's about saying no to what doesn't serve you and yes to what nourishes your soul. It's not selfish to prioritize your needs. It's necessary. When you respect your own time and energy, you model to others that your resources are valuable and not to be wasted or taken for granted. This is really important. Embodying your power means showing up in the world as your full, authentic self. It's wearing clothes that make you feel confident, not because you want to show off how attractive you are for the approval of others. It's making choices that reflect your values, even if they go against society's expectations. When you live with self-respect, you radiate a strength that commands attention. It has to come from within, not through what you say, but through unshakable confidence of knowing who you are and what you stand for. Let this be a reminder. Respect begins with how you see and treat yourself. The more you honor your dignity, the more others will rise to meet you with the respect you deserve. It's very important to understand that. So let's move on to honoring your presence and how you show up. Your presence speaks volumes before you even say a word. The energy you bring into a relationship, your confidence, poise, and authenticity. This commands respect naturally. How you carry yourself sets the tone for how you are treated. When you walk into a place acting like you own the place, acting like you know what you're doing, it commands a different respect. Women who know their worth don't seek for validation. They radiate self-respect and in turn inspire others to respect them as well. So we're going to talk about the power of boundaries. A key part of honoring your presence in a relationship or anywhere else is setting and upholding boundaries. This is not about controlling others. We talked about this last week, boundaries. They're about teaching others how to treat you. It's essential to clearly define what you expect in terms of respect, communication, and partnership. So let's start with respect and communication. Do not allow anyone, including a romantic partner, to talk down to you or dismiss your contribution to a conversation or a decision. Set a clear expectation early on that you deserve to be spoken to with dignity and that your voice matters in every discussion. Always. And this is not just for relationships. This is at work, at school, at church, at anywhere. Call it out when it happens. If you are interrupted when you are speaking, if your ideas are dismissed, whatever it is, call it out. Just call it out. You deserve to be heard and considered. And when someone doesn't, call them out. This is how you teach them that women's voices matter. Do not allow men to dismiss your contributions or treat you in a demeaning way, ever. It's important to call it out directly, but in a respectful way. If you're interrupted, excuse me, but I was talking. Make sure you are very direct. Respect prioritization in your relationship. Make it known early on that you expect to be a priority in your partner's life. This doesn't mean demanding, like constant attention, but it does mean expecting to be valued, considered, and respected in decisions and actions. It means that your relationship is prioritized over friendships and other relationships. Anyone who is not willing to prioritize a romantic relationship either does not value you enough or may have an avoidant attachment style, either of which is not honoring of you and is going to cause a lot of discord. If someone has an avoidant attachment style, you're never going to be a priority because they're always trying to push romantic relationships away. It's always going to be a struggle. Also, setting boundaries for domestic labor. This is really, really, really important. Relationships are partnerships, not servitude. Clearly communicate that domestic labor and childcare responsibilities must be shared equitably, honoring both of your schedules and commitments. This should be discussed very early on to weed out the ones who are just looking for a maid. By setting these boundaries early, you filter out men, like I said, who are looking for a maid or childcare worker rather than a true partner. You both live in the house. You both should be responsible for taking care of it. Men should know how to clean up after themselves. You are not their maid. You are not their mother. And a lot of men will leave a wife at home to be their maid. They're messy. They throw their clothes on the floor. They leave things out. They expect you to take care of everything. And they live their own life. This is extremely disrespectful. Make sure if you want to be treated with dignity and respect, domestic labor is a huge part of it. You'll know if a man is willing to give you respect, if he is willing to clean up after himself and not put an undue amount of work on you, throwing his clothes on the floor, leaving out his breakfast dishes in the morning. He does not respect you if he's doing those things. And if he just constantly holds the fact that he provides over your head, he would go to work every day, whether he was single or married. He is not doing you a favor by going to work every day. Do not let a man hold that over your head. When you articulate your expectations with clarity and confidence, you create a relationship dynamic built on mutual respect and shared responsibility. Unfortunately, if you're in a relationship right now that is not built on mutual respect and shared responsibility, it's a lot harder to create those boundaries. Because when a man was looking for a maid and a childcare worker so that he could live his own life and he couldn't care less about what you have to give up to do that, it's really difficult to go back on that and say, hey, look, this is not okay with me, because it was okay with you. Your relationship was built on that. And that's a topic for another day. If you guys want to hear some tips and tricks for developing respect and shared responsibility in a relationship where it was not initially that way, let me know. Find me on Instagram and direct message me. Let me know and we can talk about that as well. The energy that you project, confidence over validation, that's what we're looking for. Your energy is a powerful communicator. When you carry yourself with confidence, you naturally attract respect. Authenticity and poise send a clear message that you value yourself and won't settle for less than you deserve. Part of this energy comes from how you present yourself, but you don't present that energy if you don't feel that confidence inside. that is the first step. There's a connection between how you dress and the energy you project. And women don't like to hear this, but I'm going to say it. Dressing to express self-worth is important. Because this is what you tell the world about yourself. If I'm wearing black lipstick, black nails, dressing all in black, people look at me and they think I'm gothic, right? And this may be old examples, but that's my age, so that's what I know. The way that you dress expresses the way that you want to be perceived in the world. Choose clothing that makes you feel empowered, confident, and aligned with your values. Your wardrobe should reflect respect for yourself, not a need for approval from others. And that's huge. This isn't about toxic purity culture rules. It's about your own dignity. You're not responsible for a man's thoughts or behavior, but you are responsible for honoring your own dignity and worth. Avoid degrading attention. This is really important, and a lot of women don't want to do this because they love the attention, and they get really ticked off when I call them out on it. They love to point out men and say, you know, oh, they're catcalling and they sexualize us and purity culture, and they go on and on and on about all this stuff. And then they get a rise out of the attention they get from the clothing they wear. It's patriarchal, honey. I'm sorry. There's a difference between commanding respect and seeking attention. Dressing to attract degrading attention aligns with a deeper need for external validation. You're not a confident person in that regard. If you have to dress to get that kind of attention, it shows a complete and utter lack of respect for your own dignity. Women who need to wear overtly revealing clothing project the energy of seeking validation and attention rather than commanding respect. And I'm not talking about spaghetti strap tank tops and short shorts. That's not what I'm talking about here. You know what I'm talking about. Instead, focus on projecting confidence that comes from within. Respect and admiration flow naturally to those who embody self-assurance. Self-assurance is not somebody who needs attention from what they're wearing. I want to make that very clear. And then we're going to talk about setting boundaries early on in a relationship, if you have the opportunity. Boundaries are essential in both dating and serious relationships, marriages, however that relationship develops for you. They help you define what you will and will not accept, ensuring that your relationship is built on mutual respect, partnership, and equality. And for those of you who have not set these boundaries, I know a lot of women get into these situations where they grew up in religious cultures that did not allow women to do this. It can be really difficult. But by doing this early on, you filter out the wrong people. When you set clear boundaries early, you naturally weed out men who are looking for someone to serve their needs without reciprocation, which is a lot of men, unfortunately. This helps you focus on building a relationship with someone who values you as an equal. So you do it right from the very beginning. Do not pick up after him. Do not do those things from the very beginning, and express from very, very, very early on, this is a partnership and we both do our part. Be aware also of how he talks about other women, how he looks at other women, how he approaches intimacy or sexuality. This is really important because it speaks volumes about whether he's a man who respects women or sees them as sexual objects for his viewing pleasure. This is important because if he views women as objects for his viewing pleasure, guess what you're going to end up being in the end? You're not going to be the object of his sexual viewing pleasure. Once he has you, you're going to be the maid. You're going to be the childcare worker. He's going to expect you to pick, because he views women as in relation to how they serve him. He is not a giver. He is a taker. He takes from women. He doesn't give to them. This is really important. Men who see women who are complete strangers as objects for their viewing pleasure are not going to respect you. They're just not. If you are with a man who remarks about women's appearance, call him out on it. Call him out on it. If he talks about a woman's size or attractiveness, a complete stranger, this is disrespectful. It is an assumption that a woman's appearance is all about him. Do not sit idly by and allow this toxic culture to continue. Call him out. This is what we all need to be doing. Because we need to stop this dead in its tracks. It needs to stop. By honoring your presence, setting boundaries, and showing up authentically, you create a foundation for a relationship where you are treated with dignity and respect, as you deserve. Now we're going to get into a more sensitive topic, but it's extremely important. If you want a healthy relationship and you want a man to respect you, cultivating sacred intimacy is key. Sacred intimacy is rooted in mutual respect, love, and reverence for one another as sacred divine beings. It goes beyond physical connection and honors the soul and spirit of both partners, creating a bond that uplifts and empowers rather than exploits. Sex should not be taking. This is the thing. Men are constantly taking, not giving. What is he giving in an intimate exchange? Most men, all their magazines and all of their crap, it's all about them taking from the women. It's all about the women pleasuring them. It's not about giving. This is exploitation. Both women and men are guilty of using sex in exploitive ways, seeing it as an act to gratify oneself rather than an act of expressing love, intimacy, and connection. We expect individuals to learn self-control when it involves anger. And we would never condone physical violence as normal. Because we all feel anger. So isn't violence just normal because we all get angry sometimes? No. In a civilized world, there is an expectation that you control your anger. But we do not apply the same expectation to sex and intimacy. Our society is so hyper-sexualized and so demoralized that we don't expect any level of self-control prior to rape. There's no expectation of honoring the dignity of other people and ensuring proper consent, because there's a lot of times where consent is not given. Consent cannot be fully given when you're accessing content online. You don't know how that was produced. You don't know anything about that person and why they are where they are. Consent cannot be fully given when money is exchanged, because vulnerable people often sell themselves in a variety of ways and are exploited due to their vulnerability. And this is a sensitive topic to me because I have a family member who was horrifically sexually abused as a child and suffered in very visible ways because of it throughout her life. She found herself single, addicted to drugs to cope with her pain, unable to hold down a steady job, eventually becoming homeless, which ended up in her selling herself and also being trafficked. She was beaten and raped by potential Johns and left on the side of the street more than once. Her parents received phone calls in the night that she's in the hospital, found on the side of the road or whatever. I don't know all the details of it. I just know very basics. But they feared that one day they would receive a phone call that she'd been killed. This is the life she was living. And you know what? Men don't care. Oh, there's consent. The hell there was. This is a vulnerable person who was being exploited for the gratification of men. And she's not the only one. And this is not the only time I've heard a story exactly like this. You know what? She passed away in her early 40s. And while I won't go into all the details, she was beaten, used, and abused by men who didn't care one bit for her, what she had been through. But they were happy to exploit and use her, and this is not okay. Any woman that promotes this type of thing as normal or okay is contributing to the problem of women being treated with disrespect. I have heard women detail stories of being in such physically abusive relationships they fear for their lives. One of those stories was a woman who was working as a waitress at a diner, but couldn't make enough money to move out on her own. Her boyfriend was so abusive it had put her in the hospital. She was in fear for her life, so she resorted to working in an industry she did not want to be in, but she could make more money, and she did it solely to save her own life. Is this the type of exploitation? Is this the way we want men treating women? This is an entitlement that men think they have to women's bodies. I pay you money and you gratify me. It's not okay. The stories go on and on and on. And it's time we put a stop to men seeing women as objects to be purchased and consumed. If you want to be seen as equal, if you want to be treated with respect, you can't condone or support this kind of treatment of any human being. No one should ever be for sale in any way. It's time to reclaim intimacy for what it truly is and demand that all human beings be treated with the dignity they deserve. People try to claim that this is the same as singing or playing the piano or playing a sport. It isn't. A man that's playing basketball in front of thousands of people is safe. If one of those men on the other team starts to rough him up, there's thousands of people in that audience that will stand up and protect him. There are policemen there. There are witnesses everywhere. He's not going to get away with it. And also, it's not his body that is for sale. He is playing a game. No one is using him. No one is using his body. He's playing a game. If you're singing a song on stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people, it isn't exploitation. You're sharing a talent that you have with the world. There are thousands of witnesses if somebody tries to rough you up or harm you in any way, which is not the same. Why do we keep trying to defend the exploitation of women, vulnerable women? And why do we keep trying to defend this entitlement that men think they have to women's bodies? It just continues to perpetuate this idea that a woman's value is in how she visually pleases men. This is about men constantly taking with entitlement. Sacred intimacy is about cherishing another person so deeply that you desire to share not only physical closeness, but also emotional, spiritual, and mental connection. This is what intimacy is supposed to be about. We have completely obliterated the beauty of it. It's an act of love that prioritizes the well-being and dignity of both partners. Sexuality in its truest form is not self-serving. It's an expression of love, trust, and respect. Our society has lost touch with this sacred perspective. We've created a toxic environment where exploitive and harmful behaviors are normalized, and intimacy is reduced to a selfish act of gratification rather than an act of love and connection. And I want to talk about the counterfeit of intimacy. It's pornography. It's one of the most destructive counterfeits of sacred intimacy. It commodifies and exploits human beings for profit. Turning deeply intimate acts into degrading entertainment. The truth is, you cannot have true consent or connection with someone you view in pornography because you don't know their story, you don't know their name, you don't know who they are, you don't know how they got there, you don't know how they were treated before this or after this, you don't know anything. You don't even care. Were they coerced? Were they forced or trafficked? You don't know. There have actually been women in popular magazines that have come out and admitted they were trafficked or coerced. Many individuals in the porn industry have histories of abuse and trauma, or were lured through deceptive means such as modeling advertisements or false promises. Many have spoken out about being subject to extreme violence, being forced to perform acts they didn't consent to, or being humiliated in degrading ways. Women have been urinated on after some of this. Is this really what we want to promote? The exploitation of other human beings for our own entertainment? This is what we think entertainment is? This is what we think is attractive, is complete strangers? What have we come to? When we accept voyeurism as entertainment, we become complicit in perpetuating this toxic culture. Porn doesn't foster intimacy. It's not even about sex. It destroys it. It conditions people to view other people as objects to be consumed rather than sacred beings to be cherished and loved. Someone who truly embodies love, someone who truly embodies the understanding of intimacy, does not find this stuff interesting in any way, shape, or form. Only a very degraded, demoralized person has any interest in complete strangers and voyeuristic behavior. True intimacy is not about using another person to fulfill your own desires. Taking, constantly taking. It's about loving someone. It's about what you are giving. It's about loving someone so much you want to share closeness with them. When intimacy is sacred, it becomes an act of mutual giving rather than selfish taking. It respects the dignity and autonomy of both partners and creates a space for trust, vulnerability, and deep connection. It is a beauty that would blow your mind. This isn't about, oh, it physically feels good to me. You have no idea. If you have never experienced that feeling of loving someone so much that you just have to be close to them, it is the most beautiful, mind-blowing experience. How do I know? Because I've experienced it. Unfortunately, society has normalized exploitive sexual behavior under the guise of liberation and personal freedom. Calling out this culture for what it is, a destructive force, is akin to confronting an addict. It's uncomfortable because it reveals truths that many would rather avoid. But to restore balance and cultivate true sacred intimacy, these uncomfortable conversations are necessary. If you want to be treated with dignity and respect, sacred intimacy is the only way to do it. To reclaim sacred intimacy, we must approach it with reverence and intention. Avoid using others for selfish gratification. Intimacy is not about taking, it's about giving and sharing. Men need to accept accountability for their toxic attitudes towards women. They need to grow up and stop seeing women as objects to be consumed for their selfish gratification. I hear so many men comment, "I appreciate the female form." I saw this on a post the other day. It made me sick. Really? You think that's respectful? Women are not, quote, female forms. They are divine human beings that exist for their own reasons and not for your visual pleasure. Female form comes in all different shapes, sizes, and colors. And you know what? When you say you appreciate the female form, you appreciate your sexist, patriarchal idea of what women are supposed to look like. It's not about females in all of their forms and all of their sizes and all of their colors. It's time to call out the toxic, selfish culture of porn and the sexualization of everything, and avoid the use of others to fulfill shallow, selfish desires. If you think I'm not passionate about this, I am. Why? Because I'm sick and tired of women being treated like this, and women actually promoting this, and they're okay with it. It's not okay. I want you to understand, as a woman, if you want to be treated with respect, this cannot exist. This type of behavior cannot exist. The two cannot coexist. Respect and love in a relationship, men treating you with dignity, cannot coexist with porn culture. It cannot exist with people saying, "What's your, quote, body count?" I didn't even know what that meant until I was like 47 years old. I didn't know what a body count was. I've had sex with one person in my life and I'm proud of it. Why? Because I'm not a free sample. Because I respect myself enough to say, no. No. It's not just about physical desire. We all have that. We all have anger too, but that doesn't mean I go around punching everybody that I feel like punching. Just because I have a sex drive doesn't mean I go around having sex with everyone every time I desire to do so. No. I have more respect for myself than that. And I have more respect for other people than that. And it's time that we step up to the plate and we all start behaving better. Recognize the energy that you bring. The energy you bring into intimacy will be mirrored back to you. If you approach it with love, respect, and care, those qualities will deepen the connection, and it's what you will receive back. If you approach intimacy with respect and cautiously and with intention, you will repel the people that are just looking to use you. Why do you want that anyway? Why do you want to use other people, and why do you want them to use you? The only time that we end up in these situations is when we don't respect ourselves. Intimacy should naturally reflect the depth of your relationship, period. I remember joining a course, and this was about embracing the shadow side of the feminine. And I thought this course was going to be about embracing our bodies outside of patriarchal standards, loving ourselves, you know, all of that. No, it was about women sleeping around under the guise of, quote, embracing their sexuality. That's not liberating, honey. Sleeping around is either you using other people, it can be an avoidant attachment style. It can be women seeking validation outside of themselves, thinking that if a bunch of men want to sleep with them, that gives them some sort of worth or value. There is no healthy woman that acts in this way, and there's no healthy man that acts in this way either. It's never going to lead to healthy respect between men and women. There is absolutely nothing empowering about this. Women can be just as guilty of using other people's bodies to gratify themselves as men. The idea that somehow this act of using random people to fulfill selfish lust is empowering is a toxic patriarchal narrative. It's not embracing the feminine at all. When you reserve intimacy for the depth of relationship you're seeking, you'll find that you do not get overly emotionally involved before you truly know someone. It's better to exert self-control and restraint initially before just giving yourself completely over to someone and then later finding out they're toxic narcissist or they're abusive. When you're emotionally and sexually involved, it's a lot harder to break that off than if you are not. It's easier to break ties when things go south, when you take it slow, rather than dive right into intimacy before you truly know that person. It's an act of self-respect. That's what it is. It's not about morality. It's not about any of that. It's just about respect. If you approach it selfishly, the relationship will reflect that imbalance. It's critically important to let intimacy reflect the true depth of your connection and love rather than just let your hormones take over. Seek depth over fleeting satisfaction. If you want respect, sacred intimacy requires intentionality. It's about building a connection rooted in mutual respect and love, not chasing short-term pleasure. That will never end well for you. If you want deep connection, if you want to find your soulmate, if you want to find someone that respects you, that respects your relationship, it's time to shift your focus. It's time to seek deep connection. Enjoy time together. Have deep conversations. Set up expectations and boundaries from the outset. Foster non-sexual intimate connection first. And for quite a while. It's not about morality. It's about being intentional, and it's about demanding respect. These are the foundations of a healthy relationship that's built on mutual love, respect, and true connection. And the more that men actually have to offer respect to you and love to you and non-sexual intimacy to you, the more that we require men to up-level. The more that we say, hey, I ain't for sale. Intimacy, you love me, you respect me, you treat me with dignity, or it's a hell no. I am not for sale, and I do not just go out and give it all over the place. I mean, if you really want respect from a man, this is how you get it. Prioritize truly knowing someone on every level rather than prioritizing how quickly you can jump into bed with someone. You can't expect respect and then be like, hey, let's just jump into bed. It's not how it works. Spend time snuggling, kissing, holding hands, fostering deep non-sexual intimacy and connection. That's important. Your foundation should be on deeply knowing that person, not sex. Even couples who've been together 5, 10, 50 years can benefit from rekindling these deeply intimate habits. And I can tell you from experience that non-sexual intimacy leads to the most deeply satisfying relationship. Do you know, intimacy can be so mind-blowing spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It is absolutely, I cannot convey to you what it is like to have intimacy when there is such a deep emotional and spiritual connection. That physical aspect, what you're doing is you're saying, I only want the physical gratification. And you're shoving away all of the other aspects of it that make it satisfying on a soul level. I can tell you, the physical aspect of intimacy is actually the least satisfying. And that's why when people get into pornography, they get into sleeping around, they get into all of these toxic counterfeits to intimacy, they can't stop. We call it, quote, addiction. And a lot of therapists are like, it's not an addiction. It's not like cocaine. No, it is addicting. And the reason it's addicting is not for the same reason. It's because they are seeking something they can't get from that. They are constantly empty. There is no emotional connection. There is no satisfaction. And so it just perpetuates itself. It's not satisfying until it's emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually connected. And then all of a sudden, your cup is full. It is satisfying. It is mind-blowing. When you truly love someone and you express that love in these ways, it'll up-level your relationship in ways you can't imagine. You might think I'm just spouting off stuff. I don't know anything about this. Well, let me give you an example. My relationship. My husband and I have been together for 33 years. We've been married for 28. So yes, we knew each other for 5 years before we got married. And guess what? We did not have sex. 5 years we were together. We did not have sex. Yeah. Did you know that was possible? It is. We talked about everything before we got married. How many children we wanted. How we wanted to raise those children. We both talked about we did not believe in hitting children or spanking children. We talked about everything. How we wanted to handle finances. When we got to that day of being married, there were no surprises. We knew each other on a deep level. It wasn't about the sex. Were we intimate? Oh, of course we were. But you know what? We still hold hands everywhere we go 33 years later. Everywhere we go, we hold hands. We spend time in the evenings just snuggling on the couch together and talking. We sleep wrapped up like a pretzel every night. I don't sleep as well if I can't feel him touching me. His arms are wrapped around me as I fall asleep at night. In the early morning hours, he caresses my leg. And when we get to sleep in on the weekends, we spend an hour snuggling in bed before we would get up. The amount of love we have for each other after 33 years of being together is every bit as wonderful and amazing as it was the first year. And do you know why? Because we understand sacred intimacy. Because our intimacy is 100% for each other and no one else. I'm not out there looking, oh, I got to find see a hot guy and hot this and that. No, I don't care. Because it's not about somebody's body physically, visually pleasing me. I know what sacred intimacy means and I would never take a counterfeit in its place. In some ways, intimacy is better now. And it still gives us butterflies in our stomachs. This is possible. 33 years later, to be so utterly in love with someone, to have intimacy be mind-blowing. But it's only possible when you honor intimacy, when you foster it, when you express the love you feel every day in many, many different ways, and when you reserve all intimacy, all that intimate energy goes towards the love that you have for that person. If you're dividing your mind between a bunch of strangers that you're just trying to gratify yourself off, you are not going to have the same mind-blowing experience when you have intimacy with your partner. It won't happen. I don't care. It can't happen. You don't fall out of love. You stop doing love. Love is an action word. It's something you do every day. It's something that you choose. It's something that you express. But when you divide that intimacy into counterfeits, when you're constantly checking out other people and worrying about what other people look like and if they visually please you, and you're constantly dividing that sexual attention all over the place, the experience that you have with the one that you love is dramatically diluted into a point where it's almost meaningless. It's just another person. I mean, you may love that person, but it's not going to be the same. If you want to be every bit in love after 50 years, intimacy has to be something fostered between the two of you and no one else. And I'm sorry if you don't like that, but it's true. I'm just speaking truth to you. You can live your life any way that you want, but if you want this, if you want this joy, if you want intimacy that is satisfying to your soul, this is how it has to be. Intimacy is between the two of you and no one else. You don't care what anyone else looks like, because guess what? Intimacy is not about being visually pleased. It's not about taking. It's about giving. It isn't about sexualizing strangers. It's about focusing all of your energy and all of your thoughts on love. It's about giving. Women and men alike must make a massive course correction to move away from toxic cultural norms, religious crap, religious dogmas, and toward sacred connection between men and women. That's what we need. This means rejecting the counterfeit intimacy like pornography and embracing relationships where love, respect, and reverence are the foundation. We must honor the sacredness of intimacy by treating it as an act of mutual giving, a celebration of love, and a reflection of the divine. When we do this, we can transform relationships and create a culture that uplifts, respects, and cherishes the sacredness of every human being. So let's take the first step by reflecting on how we approach intimacy in our own lives and commit to cultivating it as sacred and a transformative act. So I want to give you actionable steps to command respect. Number one, self-reflection. Take time to journal about how you honor your dignity in your actions and choices. Reflect on questions like, am I living in alignment with my values? Do my choices reflect self-respect or a need for external validation? Are there areas in my life where I'm tolerating disrespect? And there's many other questions, but I would just use those as a springboard to help you identify areas where you can make changes and show up more powerfully in your life. Number two is authenticity. It's about showing up as your true self unapologetically, refusing to shrink and play small to fit someone else's expectations, prioritizing what really matters to you. When you live authentically, you stop seeking validation from others. You give others permission to respect you for who you are, but not who you think they want you to be. You align your actions and decisions with your core values, creating a life that feels authentic and fulfilling. Number three, conscious dressing. How you dress is an extension of how you respect yourself. That's what it is. Choose clothing that reflects your dignity, confidence, and self-worth. Your wardrobe should align with the energy you want to project into the world. And you will attract men based on how you dress. I'm sorry, but that's just the way that it is. If you're struggling to find men that treat you with respect, that aren't cheating on you or expecting sex on the second date, you might want to look at how you're presenting yourself. Dress in a way that makes you feel empowered but not seek attention. Express respect for yourself, and the men that you attract will respect you as well. Are your clothing choices aligned with your authentic self or driven by a need for external approval? That's really important, and you got to be real with yourself about it, because most women are not. Your clothing is a part of your presence. Let it be a statement of your sovereignty and self-respect, both. Number four, boundaries. Setting clear and firm boundaries is essential for commanding respect. Boundaries communicate your limits and teach others how to treat you. They protect your time, energy, and your emotional well-being. You need personal boundaries, limiting how much time and energy you give to others. Relationship boundaries. Be clear about how you expect to be treated in relationships. Demand that you are spoken to with respect. Ensure that you have equitable contributions to domestic labor, childcare, and the mental load. This means you share in domestic labor, childcare, scheduling dental and medical appointments, managing the social calendar, going to children's piano recitals and soccer games. Expect to be prioritized in meaningful ways by your partner, being prioritized over friends and family, that your emotions and feelings are heard and validated. Have professional boundaries, protecting your time and energy at work. Expect to be communicated with respect, but also that your voice is heard in meetings, that you are valued. When you establish and uphold boundaries, you teach others that your time, energy, and emotional health are non-negotiable. And as I said in the beginning, respect begins with self-respect. When you honor your dignity and show up authentically, you set clear boundaries. You create a foundation of self-worth that naturally commands respect from others. Remember, how you show up in the world matters. Your presence, energy, and choices speak volumes before you even say a word. By embodying self-respect and sovereignty, you inspire others to rise to meet you with the honor and love you deserve. Sacred intimacy and meaningful relationships thrive when rooted in mutual respect, love, and reverence for one another. Take these actionable steps and start living in alignment with your worth. Because you are worthy of respect, dignity, and love in every area of your life. And I want you to reflect on one way that you can better honor your own dignity this week. Whether it's through how you dress, how you speak to yourself, how you set boundaries, how you allow someone else to treat you. I want you to really self-reflect about why you do the things you do. And as we close today's episode, remember that commanding respect begins with how you honor yourself. The way you show up in the world, the boundaries you set, the energy you project, all communicate how you expect to be treated. When you live authentically, prioritize your values, embody self-respect, you inspire others to treat you with the dignity and reverence that you deserve. Let this be your power statement moving forward. I honor my worth, set boundaries, and demand the respect I deserve, not with words, but through the way I live and show up in the world. Thank you for joining me on Soulful Insights podcast today. And until next time, stay radiant, stay grounded, and remember, you are worthy of love, respect, and so much more.